We want to welcome all of our guests today. We're so thankful that you've come to worship with us. If this is your first time at Buffalo Valley, we hope that you stopped at our Welcome Center and picked up a gift basket. We've got some things in there we'd love for you to have, and then also a card that we would love for you to fill out and drop in our offering basket as it gets placed later, passed later in the service. We have a very special guest today, a special opportunity to have Reverend Musa Mumbala. And his wife Sarah is here, and also Monroe Good, who is used to be the pastor of a young lady who's not quite as young as she was back then, but still very young at heart, right, Vicky? Vicky Mattern at that point in time. Monroe was her pastor, and he's here, and also a gentleman named Juan is with them today. So can you turn the lights back up? We'll turn those back on. And we are excited to have him here. Kids, you can head on back now to junior worship. I forgot to announce that in the first service, but I guess it worked out anyway. They all went back there, and so we're thankful for that. Now, if you don't know, just let me mention this and get this out of the way. It's not really something to get out of the way, but I just do want to mention it to you, and so you know what's going on. We have we decided a few months ago, and the congregation approved this, that all of the money that came in 2014 in our general fund, all the offerings that we received that were above the expenses in the year 2014, that we would send to Nigeria, that we would send to the relief fund to help with the efforts going on there. And at the end of November, you had given, and the expenses were such that we had a surplus of over $46,000. So we don't know what those final numbers are going to be until after, of course, this Sunday, but I think we are anticipating somewhere between, obviously, that number and perhaps even $50,000 or a little bit more. And all of that money is going to actually be matched by our denomination. It's a matching program they're doing up to $500,000. So we're going to be able to send, Lord willing, I think probably about $100,000 or $50,000 from ours in the denomination, another $50,000. And so you are helping in a very practical way to feed people, to provide shelter. And Reverend Mumbala talked about in our Sunday school hour that there's preaching going on in these camps. And people are coming to Christ in these camps. Not just Christians are in these camps, but also displaced Muslims are in these camps. And people are coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And you're having a part in that as you give and as you pray. And so we're just excited to be able to do that. And when this opportunity came to have him come, and he's been in the States visiting, he'll talk about that a little bit, but to have him come and to share with us just from his heart, preaching the word of God to us. And so I was excited to be able to get him to get on the list for those churches that he's able to come and visit. So brother, if you'll come on up and preach to us, we're so excited for you to be here with us. And so the pulpit is yours, or the lectern is yours, and we're excited for you to come and be with us today. So, all right, he's getting your notes together. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good all the time. All the time, the Lord is good. We want to thank and appreciate God for bringing us again into this service where there are children of God gathering to worship Him and to sing praises unto His great name. I've already introduced my wife, Sarah Digney, the sweeter than honey woman, that has. We've been here for quite a number of months now, and the Lord has blessed us with four children, Christopher, Beatrice, Ruth, and Anna. Christopher is married, has two children. B is married with one daughter. Granddaughter came in on the 19th of October this year. And Ruth got married on the 11th of October, way back home in Nigeria, and Anna, our last one, who is 21, goes to a university in Maiduguri, the city where the Boko Haram has considered as her own capital. And Anna is doing very well, doing very fine. By God's grace, she will graduate May, June next year. And we are trusting God for good things to come from her studies. She's studying microbiology. Christopher is a medical doctor. B is a CNA. And by God's grace, next year she will have maybe her Bachelor of Science in nursing. And then Ruth is teaching biology in a private school in Nigeria. The theme of what I will be sharing this morning with the church is, it's time for total restoration. And this comes from Psalm 51 and stanza 12. We read these words from Psalm 51 and the 12th stanza. From the New International Version. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Or, restore to me again the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. This was David. And talking to God, praying. And what I want to emphasize this morning, brethren, is that this restoration does not come by chance. It comes through discipline. It comes through God and man's willingness to accept and receive it and leave it or obey it. To restore is to give or bring back to the original condition or original place. Restoration is free. That comes, it is free from God, free from Jesus. But this restoration, my friends, does not come by chance. You have your own part to play. I understand most of us here, or many of us, are farmers. We praise the Lord for your lives. And I want you to know and echo that to you today. Those who give us food on our tables, those who are called farmers, that you have a contract between you and God. And because you have been faithful contractors, we find food on our tables. All God does is to give you the land, the soil, the sunshine, the rain. But you, it is your responsibility to go and find good seeds to plant, to till. Yes? To apply manure or fertilizer, whatever you apply. And when the rains are enough and the soil has become fertile, the harvest will be a bumper harvest. And each time you have bumper harvest, you will have to do your own thing also. Use whatever machines, combine harvesters or whatever to cut everything down and prepare them. That's not God's work. It's yours. That's the contract. The same thing with this restoration the Bible is talking to us about today. Restoration is Christ's way of bringing or making peace, as stated in Ephesians 2:15, where we read these words, by his death. By Christ's death, he ended the angry resentment between us caused by the Jewish laws that favored the Jews and excluded the Gentiles. For he died to annul that whole system of Jewish laws. Then he took the two groups that had been opposed to each other and made them parts of himself. Thus, he fused us together to become one new person. And at last, there was peace. This passage is dealing with the amazing phenomenon presented by the Christian church. And the author or writer is looking at the Christian church. And there he sees as fellow members, Jews and Gentiles, people who had belonged to that commonwealth of Israel, together with those who had hitherto been aliens from it and strangers from the covenants of promise. And what he is doing here is to explain how this had come to pass. It is the power of God that has done it. Nothing else could do it except the power of God. Nothing else could bring Jews and Gentiles together in a common act of worship. Nothing else could bring, Biroms. Fulanis, Ijos, Margis, Buras, Higgis, Chiboks in Nigeria together. It's only Christ that could do it. The thing that knits the church together as a body of believers, a community of believers, is only the love of Jesus Christ. Without that love, we are nothing. Without the love of Christ, we are empty. Without the love of Christ within us and running within our systems, we are nothing. We are counterfeit. But the love of Christ that brings us together, that knits us together as a people, as believers, community of believers, those who trust and have surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus. Yes, it is the power of God that brought Christ from the dead. Nothing else than that. That is the thing he is exposing. Every place is important. Every word is significant. If we are to grasp the mighty statement and appreciate its full riches and glory, he adds such statements. And to each he says, he follows it to its logical conclusion. Oh yes. Joshua said, be strong and be courageous. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has called the EYN church to do. To be strong and be courageous. To be resilient in their faith. To move on no matter what happens. No matter what distractions we are facing. No matter what difficult circumstances we have been facing. Our girls, our boys, our women, our ministers have been killed. So many of them in thousands have been displaced. So many of our daughters have been kidnapped and forced into slavery. They have been abused physically. They have been abused mentally. They have been abused psychologically. They have been abused physically. They have been abused emotionally. They look like nothing. Empty. What are we again? See what they have done to us. But the church is saying, keep on moving. Keep on going. The Lord is near. There is nothing to fear. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Keep on believing, for this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. Faith in the night as well as in the day. Faith when you are being persecuted. Faith when you are being maimed. Faith when you are being hacked. Brethren, you know, the thing that pains me most, each time these people, Boko Haram, caught our young girls and young women, they will want to teach them lesson, they said, and they will not shoot them with guns. Because if they did, they would die immediately. They didn't want our people to die, the Christians to die immediately. They wanted them to suffer in body, physically. And so when they catch people, young people, women, boys, girls, they slaughter you like animals, like chickens. And you know what? They said they will not even slaughter Christians from the front, from the throat. They hack them from the back with a hacksaw. Takes longer time. Gruesome death. But the church is saying, we don't care. Let them hack us. The thing they are hacking here are ordinary bodies made of dust, made of clay, dirt. But one thing we know, whether they do it or not, we've been created in the image of the living God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are created in the image of God. Oh yes, every one of us is created in the image of God. Whether you are black like me and my wife, whether you are all white, whether you have pointed nose or flat nose, whether you have big head or small head, whether you have big backs or small backs, whether you are thin or fat, friends, take it, believe it, trust it, thank God for it. God has created you in the image of God, the image of Christ, the image of the Holy Spirit. Because when God was creating human beings, he said, let us create man in what? In our own image, in the image of the Holy Spirit, in the image of God the Father, and in the image of Jesus Christ, the Son. We have never seen the Holy Spirit, but he is here. He is acting. He is convicting. He is teaching. He is convicting. He is rebuking. He is teaching us. We've never seen him, but we are in his image. Praise the Lord. He is an invisible image of God working at this time to convince men and to convict them of their sins. Yes, Jesus Christ came. He came a few days ago. That's what history tells us. That Jesus Christ came on the 25th of December. Where? Bethlehem? Nazareth? Oh, yes. Is he still here? Yeah, he is still here with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, because they are together. They are fused together, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that's what makes the Muslims say, look, God can never have a woman, a wife. And so he doesn't have any son. It's sinful to mention Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It's an anathema, a curse. A curse. But the Bible says it's time for us to think. This age is an age of terrorism and persecution for the church in Nigeria. It has not excuse me, it has not yet come here. Friends, do not be complacent. Oh, you have such almost everything for you. Free life. Light. We don't see light as you see light here. We can spend 3 months without seeing light. And we pay very high bills in Nigeria. Excuse me. You know, since we came, I started coming to the United States since 1980. I went back and came for studies in 81 at Bethany Theological Seminary and National Lewis University downtown Chicago, 81 to 83. My wife went to Elmhurst College. Since we came, we had never had time when there was a blink of light. And yet Nigeria is a very rich country in oil, a member of the OPEC. In fact, today, the president of the OPEC is a Nigerian woman, the Minister of Petroleum Resources in Nigeria. Alison Maduike. But we don't even enjoy light. And you think we have everything under the sun. The food is surplus. You buy something in a restaurant or in a hotel, it's where you eat. And when you buy, oh boy, what? Is this the same world we live in? We went to KFC. And we bought. And we ordered, we wanted to have original KFC, Kentucky Fry. And they brought us the other one. And they said, well, this is not the original one. What do they call it? Crispy? Extra crispy. You didn't order for this? I said, no. Oh, we will give you what you ordered for. And they said, please remind, what was your order? And they said, this. To my shock, they took the ones they brought to us. We did not touch it. And they went into the garbage, trash, and pulled the whole thing. Wow. After receiving the original, I said, bring those ones there. We did not order. We would need them. And they said, no. Our law says it should be thrown away. What? I didn't even touch it. I didn't feel it. I didn't even take my spoon or fork to. And they've thrown it into a garbage trash. See how life is in America? You farmers, you grow corn here. Yeah, I know you take some of the sweet corns. But most of it is for your animals. Corn in Nigeria is our own staple food. Without corn, our people cannot survive. The Lord we serve is in control of the whole thing. As I've told you, as we claim this restoration, brethren, from God, from Jesus, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, there are many things and myriad of questions we could ponder over and over. I asked those questions earlier on, and let me ask the same questions this morning. I said, what makes your neighbor mow his lawn at 7:30 in the morning on your day off from work? What makes people decide they can burglarize a house to finance a drug habit? What makes one person take up arms to end another's life? What makes governments, divinely ordained and elected into power for the protection of the righteous, imprison, torture, and kill their own people? What makes monstrous leaders like Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, Joseph Stalin, unleash sorrows and horrors worse than death on numberless millions? We might answer only to these questions, give answers to these questions by pointing to the unfathomable depths of evil in the heart of fallen humanity. We might talk in terms of subconscious primal hatred from the dawn of the race. Oh, we could look outside ourselves and ask, is it possible that God decreed all these things to happen? Or did the loving God we are taught to call Father, Abba, mandate mass torment and annihilation for multiplied millions throughout the bloodstained country or history of humanity? Friends, I ask, what do you do when you are faced with persecution? What do you do when you are made to live in refugee camps in your own country? Say in Pennsylvania, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And when people overnight from one will come and begin to kill you, maim you, abduct you, and then you run to other towns. You run to Michigan. You run to Illinois. You run to Indiana. Or you run to New Jersey. You run to West Virginia. You run to Virginia. And begin to live in tents. Plastic tents. As refugees in your own country. No food, no shelter, no light, no drinking water, and no security of all kind in your own country. What will you think? How will you act? And yet, we thank God that the gospel of Christ that was brought to us on the 17th of March, 1923, by Dr. Stover Kolb and Albert Helser, has put that faith in our members that no matter what happens, we will not turn back from serving Christ. We will continue to serve Him. He is the King of our life. He is the Savior of the whole universe and therefore our Savior. When our bodies are destroyed and maimed and killed and burnt alive, they have only burnt alive the body. The soul will be with Christ. For we have been created in the image of God and image of God and will go back to God. Friends, have you ever sat down to think about your brothers and sisters in EYN, Nigeria, northeastern part of the country? When this country was discovered by the British, not actually discovered, they went and they found people there. This is how Nigerian map looks like. Yes. And then Adamawa State, Borno State, Adamawa, and Yobe, the three northeastern parts, three states bordering Chad Republic, Niger Republic, and the Cameroon Republic, all Francophone countries. These are small countries. The size of Nigeria, as I've said earlier on in the first service, is just about the sizes of Texas and New Mexico put together. with a population of about 178 million. I understand the United States of America was revealed to me on CNN the day before yesterday that you have a population of 319 million. And you have 50 states. And only the size of Texas, a state, and New Mexico make up the size of Nigeria with a population of 178. Wow. It's terrible. But the gospel of Christ there makes us stronger. We have the God that lives, the God that gives us power. And this is the God we serve. He is our God. He is our Father. He is our Lord. If a little child goes out to play in the dirt or in mud and sees his father coming from somewhere, this little child will run to the father and jump. The father will say, No. Go to your mother first. Let him wash you. No. That's the love of God. More than that, of the father even. He has to grab him. Oh! And the child will feel joy, happiness, gladness, security. And they gave that example of a young man who was at a conference in Kaduna. The little child saw on the third floor, he saw his daddy coming. And he said, "Dad, can I jump over to you?" He said, No. The father was in love. He quickly ran in and went to the second to the last floor and now stood there and said, "Look, you can now jump." Without hesitant, the little boy just jumped and jumped into his father's arm because he knew his security was in his father. He did not only believe his father, he trusted his father. Yes. Did you watch that young man in Chicago that walked across those towers? Did you watch that? Yes. When Pastor George prayed for him, and he walked across on a very thin what? Wow, yes, cable, isn't it? By faith, he was only calling Jesus. Now, there was another man called Blodden. I understand many years ago, who could do that, run across, take a wheelbarrow with cement, bags of cement on it, walk across, and people gathered to watch him perform that miracle of walking on a cable. And he said, "Do you believe I can walk across this cable?" "Oh, yes." And they clapped for him. They believed Blodden. And they said, "Do you believe I can carry 5 bags of cement in a wheelbarrow across?" And he said, they believed him. And they said, "Send me up 5 bags of cement." And they did. And he carried it across very comfortably. And he turned. And he said, "Well, do you believe I can carry any one of you across this?" They said, "Yeah, we believe. Okay, please, I want about 3 volunteers to come up and sit in the wheelbarrow and I will carry them across." And every head went down. Everyone was peeping to see who would be the bold one to get into the wheelbarrow to be carried across. They gathered. They believed him, but they never trusted him. They never trusted their lives into his hands. He could have done it. And so, if somebody did believe in Christ, yes, Satan also believes in Christ. The Bible tells us that. But he doesn't trust Jesus because Jesus has life. Jesus saves. Jesus gives salvation free. Free salvation. Praise the Lord. Okay. You know, your salvation, my friends, my church, is free. But not cheap, Pastor. Your salvation is free. It's free. Free. But not cheap. If I come and go to a diamond store and buy a diamond ring worth $200,000. $200,000 worth of diamond ring. And bring it to my pastor friend, colleague here. Say, Pastor, I have not seen gold diamond ring on your finger. And he said, okay, I'm giving you free. How much did you buy? I bought this diamond ring, $200,000. U.S. dollars, not Canadian dollars. It's yours free. It's late for the pastor to receive it. If he stretches out his hand and receives the $200,000 worth of diamond ring, it's his. It's free. But it's not cheap. I paid for it. For you, I've given it to you. It's free. It's yours. If you receive it from me and slot it there, it's yours. Free. No pain. But I paid for it. Jesus paid for our own salvation with his life, with the blood he shed on the cross of Calvary. I know the church in Nigeria, the EYN church, whether Boko Haram or Boko Haram, what? Whether persecution, whether abduction, intimidation, harassment, killing, destruction, maiming, cheating, burning of our churches, of our buildings, all we say is we will be steadfast and keep on believing Christ, the risen King. Be steadfast and movable by faith, stand your ground. Let the world not entice you, nor let errors confound. For the Lord is your portion, his word is your guide. Be steadfast and yielding, and turn not aside. We will not turn aside as a church. We will not turn aside as believers in Christ. We will not turn aside as EYN members. No matter what the EYN, the Boko Haram does for us, they have killed our people. They have maimed our people. They have burned over 2,000 churches. Woo. Over 700,000 displaced. Across camps. Refugees in their own countries. For not their problem. They had never done anything wrong. Only by identifying with Christ, that we are Christians. Christian, the word Christian, the name Jesus Christ, is a threat to every Muslim. Anywhere you go and you mention the Lord, the name Jesus, oh boy, everything they do will have to turn topsy-turvy, completely upside down. You are an enemy. Kill him. Destroy him. Nobody, no weapon fashioned against us shall prosper. The church of Christ will continue to work stronger every day. We will continue to win souls by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We will move to these camps and preach Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will leave the result to God. It's not our responsibility to convict. It's not our responsibility to convert. But it is our responsibility to share the word of God, the word of life, to share Christ. And it is left for God himself to to make the conviction and conversion and bring them to church. I don't care whatever you've been passing through. This man called Jesus has answers to them. He will heal you. He will cure you. Yes? You may pray. There are so many people who have been praying. We don't give up. Never you give up, Pastor. And whether we believe, whether we continue praying, and whether we are continuing to be receiving attacks and killings and destruction of our churches in Nigeria, we will continue to believe in the prayers of our people. My friend, when people pray, you expect answers. But today, you may not accept the answers immediately. But one thing I know, and I believe, that the Lord will answer someday. I received a book on George Mueller from England. It was a gift as the best English student when I was in high school by Mr. Zurlo. And Zurlo was a BVS teacher in Yola in Nigeria in 1966. George Mueller, who was a preacher in England, in Westminster Chapel, had a friend who was a drunkard. And they have been friends for many, 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 many years. He prayed always, every day. He made sure, he made mention of his friend to become a Christian, to be changed, to be transformed, to leave his drinking habits. He would not leave it. And George Mueller never sent him aside. He continued. Unfortunately, George Mueller died 60 years after. It was at the grave site of George Mueller when they were lowering the casket into the grave that this, his friend, collapsed and fell and wept bitterly. He prayed to receive Christ at the grave of his past friend, George. And he had become a pastor. He left his drinking from that day. Accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. Went into evangelism. Went into a seminary until he became ordained minister before he died. George Mueller was praying for his friend to become a Christian for 60 years. I don't know how many years he will continue to pray for the release of our daughters, our sisters, and for the change of heart of Boko Haram, or for our church to be stronger and even as strong as you are. I don't know, but keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. The Lord will do it one day, and we will be at the feet of Jesus Christ, the King, and we will all rejoice together as a church that, yes, the Lord has answered our prayers. He will. I believe he will. He will. I say the Lord will change the lives of Boko Haram members. And the church, the EYN, shall continue to trust, to believe, and to be resilient in their faith. Thank you, brother.
And we're going to sing. And I hope that that's the kind of belief you have. Belief that moves us to pray every day, not only for ourselves, but for those around the world. If you'd like to pray with Reverend Mambala and myself, we'll be back in the prayer room. Would you please go ahead and stand, and let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for the message of the gospel that goes forth in the midst of incredible persecution in Nigeria, and that goes forth in the midst of all kinds of situations and circumstances around the world. And though we are very different on the outside, followers of Christ are the same on the inside. We serve the same God. We're indwelled by the same Spirit. We have the same mission and purpose. Lord, as we sing and as we leave here today, may we be encouraged by how great you are, and also a burden to pray for the great needs in Nigeria. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.